This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Jewels of Illumination books 1 through 3 box set is out. Oban is a broken man who just might find redemption guarding a scholar from bandits, a criminal syndicate, a dark necromancer. Avina is a woman haunted by guilt who has to learn if she can trust Oban. Together, they can break free of their past or be lost. You can buy or borrow Jewels of Illumination books 1 through 3 from Amazon. Today, I'm joined by Anne C. Miles. She is the author of the fantasy novel Sorrowfish, The Call of the Lorik.
How are you doing today, Anne?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Just fine, just fine. I always like to start these out with a fun question or two. Anne, are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm a dog person, definitely.
Interesting. So my mom has the same name as you, and she's a cat person, so.
Okay. Yeah, I am. My mom is deathly afraid of cats. So I grew up not really being around cats and just have never really bonded with them.
My mom loved cats, and I grew up around cats, and I hate them. So.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of fond memories of my mother's cats. So anyways, and how long have you wanted to be an author?
I never really wanted to be an author.
Okay.
It's kind of a compulsion. I don't really feel like it's something I can control. I started writing when I was little, and I've written my whole life, but I actually wrote fiction, I guess in late 2016, early 2017, I started writing fiction on Wattpad. So.
Okay.
Yep.
How'd that go, writing on Wattpad?
It went really well. I kind of fell into a good group of people, which was wonderful. It was called NBR. It was a group of adult writers who were serious about what they were doing, and there was about 100 of them, and they had what was called a spotlight every 2 weeks, and so we would have 2 weeks to read the spotlight chapters and critique them, and then if we had a spotlight, then we would get like 100 critiques at a time, so it was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did a writer's group once, and it was there's like 10 members, and like 3 days before the meeting, you would get like 20 pages of stuff from each of them, and you were supposed to read it and critique it all and be ready for the meeting. And I was like, it's just too much reading. I don't have the time to read, you know, like 150 pages and critique it in like a few days.
Right.
Yeah. So it didn't work for me.
Right. Yeah. NBR was great, 'cause we had 2 weeks to do, to critique two chapters, basically. So it wasn't hard, and it was really valuable as far as learning, you know, basics. So.
Oh, no, they were supposed to give it out, like, earlier, but they, most of them don't.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about your book, Sorrowfish. What is it all about?
Well, it's about a girl who is an art student at the University of Louisville in early 2001. That's important. And she thinks she's really selfish. And she learns over time that she's not selfish. She's sorrowfish, and that means something completely different. But she has these dreams, and they're strange dreams. And at first she thinks she's going crazy. And she actually goes to a therapist, thinks she's going crazy. And,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. I was just saying, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Over time, she, discovers that she's actually visiting another world. And so she meets a wizard, and she eventually meets a bard, and adventures ensue. So, okay. Yep.
Can you explain what Sorrowfish is, unless that's like a spoiler or something?
Well, Sorrowfish, if you hear the word selfish.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorrowfish means that you do things that seem selfish, but they're not really selfish. They're caused by pain. So, and the word comes from an idea that I got when I was, my daughter turned 18 and she left home, and it wasn't under good circumstances, and we didn't speak for 2 years, which was very painful for me. We had been very, very close. And I remember one day I was just yelling about how she was so selfish. And then into my heart kind of came this idea that, no, she was sorrowfish. She was acting from pain. And so that's really where the idea came from. Although the book isn't about her, but that's where the idea came from. And I kept that word as a title, and I think it works. Yeah.
Okay. So she is dreaming about another world. What sort of, what's going on in this other world that?
Well, the world is called Canard.
Okay.
And in Canard, music is magical. But there has been a breaking about 500 years ago, and something called dissonance came in, and it affected the wizards, and to where the wizards in training are called Daywin, and they all went crazy. And when they went crazy, they killed a lot of people. And the magisters, who were the actual wizards, disappeared. So anyway, when all of that happened, it caused a whole lot of social unrest and craziness. And Daywin, the wizards in training, they became outlawed. And so when Sarah connects with the new world, she actually connects with a Daywin, and his name is Dane, and he's in hiding because it's illegal to be a Daywin. So anyway, and so he makes lutes. He uses his magic to create these beautiful instruments, and those lutes can actually touch the song, the pure song. And he's making a lute for the bard who I mentioned. His name is Tristan. And anyway, a whole lot of other things happen, but that's basically the beginning.
Okay. So where did the idea behind Sorrowfish come from, about a girl dreaming of another world and all that?
Well, I got the idea in 1998, so I've been thinking about this for a while. The thing is that when I was younger, I noticed that the songs in my mind would a lot of times relate to what was going on around me. And sometimes I didn't even know the songs in my mind. They were just playing. And so I sort of nicknamed that thing, whatever it was, Cosmic DJ. And so Cosmic DJ sort of melded in my mind with this idea of the girl, the sculptor. And Sarah's a sculpting student, and she wants to go into the movie industry, actually, and sculpt for that. So I had met a woman who sculpted for the amusement park industry.
Okay.
And I got to see her studio and talk to her quite a bit, and it just kind of all gelled together.
So you you're working on the story since 98?
I don't say I was working on it since then. I've been thinking about it. I've been making notes.
I gotcha. Yeah, you're like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think most authors have like stories that have been rattling around their head for like a long time. Like I got one that's been rattling my head since like 2012. So yeah, that's coming up on a decade now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I really should write that.
Yeah, well, it took me a long time to decide I was actually going to write fiction, so, yeah.
Okay. So, Sorrowfish, the first book you wrote, or?
Yes.
Okay,
it's,
cool.
It's my debut. Yep.
And you've turned it into an audiobook, yeah?
Yes.
What has that process been like?
that process was long and painful because I wanted to do it myself really badly. Yeah. And I tried for a year to do it myself, and I could not conquer the background noise and the software. I tried 3 different software packages and coaching and everything else and just couldn't get it right. So I finally hired someone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. ACX is really strict. And they got an instructor in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I work with, I do ghostwriting, and they produce a lot of audiobooks, and, like, they had, like, one of their narrators suddenly, like, stuff wasn't good enough to get past ACX all of a sudden,
and, yeah.
But she managed to get some workarounds and all, but, yeah, it was, like, the voice actress was like, I'm just gonna quit if I can't get things through, what is going on in this, because she was, like, having to re-record stuff, and it was a real nightmare for her.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my narrator was really amazing, so I was really lucky. She was so good. Yep.
When did you put your book through submission? Was it in 2020?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get caught in the long audiobook wait? Because I did my first novel audiobook in 2020, and it got stuck in review for like 3 months.
Yeah, mine did too. I actually submitted it around the end of September, and it didn't come.
Yeah. First. Yes.
February. Yeah.
That's when I did mine. End of September, and it didn't come out till like December. And then the second book went through in like 3 weeks. Well, like we had the second book recorded and ready to upload to ACX by the time the first book was done, was through.
Wow.
And they're long books, right? They're 130,000 words.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 2020 was, I think they, from what I understand, ACX was not prepared for. Should probably explain for the listeners. ACX is Audible's. It's where you upload audiobooks to Audible if you're like an indie author, and it's called the Audiobook Creation Exchange. It's really useful for finding like voice actors and networking. It's kind of all there on their interface. But anyways, like they had a lot of people doing their own audiobooks, so they were getting a lot of really bad stuff that wasn't clearing review, and it was slowing down like the review process. Because they just got glutted. Because all these people were like, well, I'm out of work. Why don't I make my own audiobook?
Yeah. And that's really unfortunate because there are a lot of tools where you can test to see if your audio will pass before you send it in.
I have a feeling a lot of them didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And that was part of the problem.
Yeah.
So anyways, when you came to actually writing it, were you more of a plotter of Sorrowfish or did you pants it?
I get hives when I think about outlining. Just think about it. Yeah. it's very difficult for me. And the thing is that I'm actually plotting an entire series now. So it's really hard for me to do that. But I am trying because I understand that it makes life a whole lot easier if you do that. But it's very unnatural for me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just took a contract to do a video game, like a narrative video game, and I have to, not only do I have to like account for like player choices, and so I have to actually have a really detailed outline just to like as a submission of like this is where I think the story should go, you know, and this is like the choices and how the characters respond, and there's like branching paths, and so I have to outline way more than I've ever done in my life. Like I'm outlining like conversations.
Oh. That must be difficult.
Yeah, because they got to approve it. So like because they got to like approve the script, you know, and before I can even write it. But I started writing it today and it's a lot easier because I'm really just kind of cleaning up a bad outline that's kind of like halfway done. So hopefully it'll be faster writing.
Yeah, hope so. I think the thing is that pantsing, you get to explore more and you don't know what's going to happen, so it feels more like reading, you know, so you enjoy it.
I don't mind outlining. Yeah. I find outlining makes me write faster, but I don't like that detailed of outlining.
Right. Well, that's the thing is that when I outline, I don't feel like I'm really discovering the story. I feel like I'm plotting it, and which is totally different for me. And so, yeah. But anyway. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I still find a lot of discovery in the writing. Mostly, it's usually character interactions and stuff I discover in the writing, how they kind of react to each other. Whereas I'm outlining more just, like, the plot stuff. And especially battles. I write, like, fantasy stuff with, like, some epic battles. And trying to pants that and make it, like, a decent battle can be difficult. It's easier if you have an outline so you know, like, the blows that are happening and, you know, the countermeasures and stuff. It makes it...
I had one battle scene in Sorrowfish, and I remember knowing that I had to write the battle scene, but not really knowing how it was going to turn out, and just writing, you know, and it was hard. So I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, I've passed some battle scenes before, and mm-hmm. it turned out fine, but I don't know. It's really mentally taxing for me.
Yeah.
As opposed to just sitting down and just thinking about it, and... Because then I don't, you know, then I could just worry about, like, the prose and kind of getting the emotional stuff in. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, all the sort of mechanical beats in. So, besides Starfish, have you written any other novels?
This year, I have been writing a ghost novel. It's a memoir for a client. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I've been doing that all year, and we're almost finished. We're almost to the deadline. He's going back over it, and this is the last round of changes before it goes to the editor for copy editing. And, yeah. So that will be interesting. It's a ghost novel. I can talk about what it is, though. My name's not going to be on it.
Yeah.
But
I guess right. Like, I can, like, tell about it, but I can't really, like, say which ones they are.
Right.
But, yeah. Never done a memoir, though.
Yeah, it was a really great experience doing it because his life was so interesting. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
I have had people ask me if I could write their life story for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that. And, you know, if I could just give a word of advice to people, don't go up to authors and say, like, my life's super interesting and you should write a book about it. Because, you know, it's – you want to write your own stuff, unless you're like a ghostwriter and you're specifically, you know, out there looking for talent, unless you're mm-hmm. doing that, right?
Yeah. Well, this guy was actually really, really interesting. He had met Martin Luther King Jr. and Albert Schweitzer, and he built 3,000 wells in Africa last year.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, he was a really amazing person. So, yep.
Yeah, my great grandfather did that in India. He was, well, irrigation and stuff. He was a professor of agriculture and, like, the UC Davis. And he went to India to help them, like, back, what, this would have been, like, 1920s,
1930s? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to help them with their, get better crop production.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so what are you working on now? Are you working on a sequel to Sorrowfish? Are you working on anything else for yourself?
I'm working on the sequel to Sorrowfish, yes. I have been working on it all year, and basically I got 80,000 words in and decided that I needed to break it out. So I was going to do 3 books, and it's turned into 8 books, which is okay.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm writing book 4 of a series that was all supposed to be one book.
Uh-huh.
Like, I had thought I would get all the way out to where I'm in book 4 in one uh-huh. book. So that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Even when I thought it was, like, I was willing to have it be a longer book, I would be up to, like, 350,000 words or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, so that wouldn't work. And even then, I was kind of getting worried on writing this book. Like, man, am I going to be able to get to where I thought this book would get to? In this book, but I think so. It'll probably be 100,000 words.
Oh, well, don't limit yourself.
Oh, it's not limiting myself. It's just like, if I was, like, not getting anywhere near that part, I was just like, well, it's kind of like it's a series. So it's meant to be, it's going to be like a 10, 11, 12 book series. So I was like, you know, if I have to have a different finale and then save what that is for the next book, you know, that's fine. I wasn't. Yeah. But I just, like, I called the book, the title of the book would have to change because the title of the book references where they're going. So if I don't get there in this book, that would now be book five's title, and I have to come up with a new title for book four. And I hate coming up with titles. I'm the worst at titles.
Yeah. Yep.
So you got it's going to be three more books in the Sorrowfish series, or
no? There's going to be eight. Yeah, eight? Probably. Okay. Yeah. So when I started, my outline is a poem. So. Which is odd, but it's true. So I thought that the first stanza would be book one, and that the second stanza would be book two, and that the third stanza would be book three. And it's kind of a prophetic poem. So as you go through the book, the things that happen in the poem sort of unfold, and you find out what they are. But as I was writing this, I realized that I just had too much story, and I had read Jim Butcher's live journal, and I don't know if you've ever read that, but
it's, I've read Jim Butcher, but I've never read his live journal.
Yeah, his live journal is really a how-to. It's kind of a compressed writing course. It's really great. And anyway, so it made me rethink some things, and I ended up going back and reworking my story. So yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we all learn. I had a gut my third novel and stitch it back together because I messed up my female protagonist. She had no agency in her story. She was just there, and the plot just happened around her.
Uh-huh.
Or happened to her, but she wasn't really affecting the plot.
Right.
And I was like, oh. And I didn't notice it. And then my beta reader was like, hey, like, her story is really terrible. She's not doing anything. She's just sort of there. I'm like, oh. I guess I probably should fix that.
Yes. You should probably fix that. So, yep. Well, I have seven tasks for my protagonist. So once he accomplishes those, then we'll get through it. And I'll probably end. And I've got a prequel also in the works. So I think it's going to be eight books. He'll have to get the seven tasks and then the prequel.
So, awesome.
Yep.
Well, if you'd like to tell our listeners where they can connect with you on like social media and the internet and stuff.
Sure. So my series is called The Call of the Lorica. Lorica, L-O-R-I-C-A. And so you can find me at facebook.com/LoricaAuthor and instagram.com/LoricaAuthor. And you can read my diary at anncmiles.com. And you can look at the book and play games and do all sorts of cool things that deal with the book at sorrowfish.com, which is the book's website.
Awesome. Well, it's really great talking with you, Anne.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Thanks.
Yeah, you have a good day.
All right, you too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.